You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Richard Boxall.
Hello and welcome to the European Tour Race to Dubai show. I'm Robert Lee and alongside me this week is Richard Boxall as we reflect on the third WGC event of the year, the Bridgestone Invitational, and a thrilling win for Rory McIlroy.
You did enough in the end and hung on, and obviously very happy to be sitting here as a champion and number one player in the world and going into Valhalla with obviously a lot of confidence.
We'll hear more from the new world number one, whose final round of 66 pips Sergio Garcia to the title after his disappointing 71 on the final day.
Rory played great. I mean, he started like a machine and put a lot of pressure on me. I started a little nervy, and in the greens after the rain, they got a lot slower than they've been all week, and I just struggled with the speed. I just started second guessing myself on pretty much every single putt, and because of that I didn't really make anything.
And we will hear from Tiger Woods as he stole the headlines after his withdrawal with more back issues, which will almost certainly rule him out of the Ryder Cup.
I happened on the second hole. I hit my second shot. I fell back into the bunker, just jarred it, and it's been spasming ever since.
And legendary broadcaster Bob Bubka joins the show to help us look back at events in Ohio, as well as preview the final major of the year, the US PGA Championship from Valhalla in Louisville, Kentucky. Good day to you, Richard Boxall. You've had a busy weekend. You've been a busy boy.
Have I been busy? Let me think.
Well, you've been busy not watching golf.
I watched a little bit of golf, I have to confess.
Excellent.
Yes, watched a bit of golf.
What about the performance of Rory McIlroy?
Well, I thought Garcia was going to win. Not after six holes, I didn't, but I did at the start of the day. I thought Garcia was playing magnificent golf. I mean, Rory on the Saturday was, I mean, I don't think anyone's ever seen him drive the ball as well. They're very narrow fairways, and he was knocking it 320, 330. But to answer your question, Robert, what did I think of yesterday? I thought it was, again, a great event. And the right man won. I think, what a beautiful start. What was he, 4 under through six holes?
Are you surprised that after the win at the Open Championship, he could come straight back out and win again?
Well, I think that's what makes brilliant players, you know. If by some fluke of nature, you or I had won an Open Championship, we probably wouldn't have come along 2 weeks later and won the Bridgestone.
If I'd won the Open Championship at Hoylake, I'd still be running naked through the streets. There's no question about that, which would have cleared them fairly rapidly. But McIlroy's, he's, well, I mean, how special a player is he?
Oh, he's brilliant. I mean, yeah. You know, everybody said, do you remember when he was messing around changing clubs and all that? And they said, oh, the clubs and that. I mean, it's nothing to do with the clubs.
Well, I remember Faldo having a pop. He's gone very quiet now, actually.
He's gone
amazingly quiet, Faldo, hasn't he? You know, Rory's been a little bit like Tiger. He's been sort of groomed from a very early age to, his mum had three jobs. They did all they can when he was a kid to keep him out there practicing and playing. I mean, they pretty much sacrificed what they were doing for him.
And
my goodness, it's paid off.
But well, he hit a 40-yard drive at the age of two. That's pretty impressive.
That is impressive, yeah.
I mean, you can do that. You can hit it that far in one.
He's only added 300 to it, to be fair, in 23 years?
Yeah, you'd think that would be going. Oh, no, he's long. He's straight as well.
He is incredibly straight. An impressive performance again from Rory McIlroy. The birdie burst at the start really did for Sergio in the wrong way. What about Sergio, 71? After his play over the first 3 days, it was disappointing.
You know what? If you go out and shoot 71 at that standard of play,
that's one over.
We wouldn't expect to win,
I think. Wouldn't.
So, you know, there's no moaning. I mean, Rory won it. Sergio didn't blow it. He didn't lose it. He just shot 71, and that was that. Didn't hold enough putts. It's simple as that, Robert.
It was Sergio who lost by two to Rory McIlroy, who now becomes the world number one.
And rightfully so, I would say. There is nobody better than him right now.
He pips Adam Scott, who had another good event, you know, another top 10, the big event, but he's been overtaken by the man who's really hot. And some big news during the week. Well, first of all, let's deal with Dustin Johnson. He sort of, for his own reasons, said he's going to withdraw from the game of golf for personal, I don't know, improvement, betterment, whatever it is. He's just not playing golf. Odd time to do it because you've got WGC, Major, Ryder Cup all coming along in pretty much the bounce and the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Well, yes. I mean, he's obviously got some personal problems somewhere along the line, isn't he?
Yeah, well, let's hope he's made the right decision and it all works out well for him. And Tiger pulled out after nine holes in the final round.
Yeah, it was quite surprising. Apparently he tweaked his back on the second, but it didn't look that bad to me there and then.
No, it didn't. It's kind of an odd one. And again, people talking about, is he going to play Ryder Cup? Is he not? We don't know now with his injury if it's just going to be a tweak for a week and he's back next week at the PGA, or is it take the rest of the year off?
Well, if it's really, really bad, he won't be playing the Ryder Cup, he won't be playing the PGA, he'll take the rest of the year off.
Do you think he came back too quick after a back operation? I mean, Graham Dillette took 12 months.
Yeah, he might have done because, you know, he was sort of saying, I've hit a few shots. Before he came back to play proper tournament golf, you'd think he would have done 10, 12 rounds. and hit hundreds and hundreds of balls, not just hit a few shots.
Yeah, we're going to find out. We're going to find out very quickly vis-a-vis the PGA Championship, and then we'll see what happens with the Ryder Cup and his pick, because he's not going to qualify. He's got no chance. Do you think, going back to Roy, Richard, that anybody in the history of the game has driven it as well as he has of late? I mean, he's always been a good driver when he's on, but at the Open Championship, you know, with those drives down the par fives over the weekend and this week again, phenomenal.
Tiger Woods was right up there in 2000 when he was...
Well, he was never as long as never
he
as straight.
He wasn't as long, no, but I mean, he did some incredible things. Well, you know, he never went into a bunker at St Andrews to win in 2000. That was pretty impressive.
But probably, he's never driven it that well, ever.
No, I mean, I think you're probably right, Robert. I hate saying that.
How many tournaments do you think you could win from Rory's drives?
Oh, I think you could win a few.
You know, you have to think, I'm so far down here in the middle of the fairway.
I know. It is
not a difficult game from here.
Once he's got his wedge play sorted out, which obviously he has at the moment, once he's got that sorted out, there's no stopping him. My goodness, when his iron play is on, from right at the bottom of the bag, you know, from a three iron right the way through to a lob wedge, everything is right down the throat of the flag. It's quite incredible.
He is quite incredible. He has played quite incredibly well. Let's hear from Rory after a final round of 66 to give him his first WGC win.
It really started last night, you know, birdieing those final two holes after the rain delay, and then coming out today and birdieing the first three. So playing that five-hole stretch and five under par really set me up, you know, to have a great chance to win this golf tournament. And, you know, I played really well from there. I birdied five to get the four under for the day. And after that, I had a couple of little wobbles, a couple of loose drives, but, you know, for the most part, played really solid golf and did what I needed to do. Got lucky a couple of times, and Sergio had a couple of putts to try and get close to me, but, you know, did enough in the end and hung on, and obviously very happy to be sitting here as a champion and number one player in the world and going into Valhalla with obviously a lot of confidence.
Valhalla, which, by the way, sets up unbelievably well. It's his eighth European Tour victory in his 139th European Tour event. It's his third European Tour win of this season following the BMW PGA Championship and the Open Championship. It's the first time he's recorded three European Tour wins in the same season. It's his first World Golf Championship title in his 22nd go, and he becomes just the second European Tour winner to win the WGC Bridgestone Invitational following Darren Clarke in 2003. So the young Northern Irishman is back to number one in the world. So how will he approach things now he's top of the tree?
Not to think about it too much and not to feel like you're going defending it every week or defending it all the time, just to go out and play. It's a nice honour and it's a nice title to have, but, you know, I don't think you should go in to tournaments thinking about it or thinking about, oh, you know, this guy could pass me if I don't finish in this position, or this guy could do this. You know, I think you just go and you play and you try to win golf tournaments, and if you win golf tournaments, the ranking takes care of itself. And, you know, my goal now until the end of the year is just to try and win as many golf tournaments as I can. It's not to try and finish number one in the world, and it's just to try and get as many titles as possible.
What's really good about what he's saying is that, yeah, right, done that, next thing. He's not sort of thinking, oh, I'm just going to enjoy this for a minute. It's just, right, that's
like,
the open.
Like that, we that would.
Still Listen, be living
if you
the
had,
dream.
If you had the claret jug, I'd bring that onto the range and put it next to my bag. I mean, can you imagine walking up down the range just sort of shining it?
You know, like Sir Nick Faldo put a knight on
yes.
his... I'd have claret jug head covers, you know, for my golf bag.
Not for long, you wouldn't, Robert.
Just for the year.
Has anyone seen the claret jug?
You'd have to, because you know absolutely within your heart of hearts you're never going to win it again. I don't think that's the same for Rory. But it's very impressive the way he's just saying, right, tuck that away, next.
We're actually talking about him now, like we were talking about Tiger Woods back in 2000, 2001. And, you know, funny enough, he might be your tip coming up for this week.
Well, which... I don't know that. Let's see. It could be Sergio, of course, because he shot 66 in the final round at the Open. Wasn't quite good enough to pit Rory. This time he wasn't chasing. He was trying to defend, and it still didn't work out for him.
I actually would like to see Sergio Garcia go and win at Valhalla.
And I still believe if Sergio wins a major, he could win two or three.
Yeah, no, I think he's the type of player that will still be winning in his 40s.
Well,
he's got the
Adam
longevity,
Scott,
I think.
And Rory are the three best ball strikers out there.
You haven't seen me hit it recently. But
I haven't, actually.
No.
That left knee buckling a little bit with the pressure.
Well, you might put me in the top four.
I might put you fourth, actually, or among others. As far as I'm concerned, they're the best three ball hitters
well,
in the world.
Well, if it's what you think, then that's
so. So
true.
Sergio is one of the best ball strikers. Surely at some point, maybe next week at Valhalla, it's all going to come right for him. He played some incredible golf last week. I mean, he shot 61 on day two, which was really impressive. But he was quick to point out it wasn't just him being in the zone.
Nah, I mean, I'm not going to come here and say I was in a bubble. all that stuff. No, I was enjoying it. Obviously, I felt very calm throughout the day. Just a couple of bad tee shots on the front nine, but I was able to recover nicely. I got a couple of good breaks, and then back nine, everything just started happening. You know, I rolled a great putt on 10, a good birdie chance on 11, and then I started hitting quite close, ended up with making a couple of really nice putts on 17 and 18. You know, to be able to do that in this golf course at this tournament and, you know, tie the course record, I feel very, very fortunate.
I think you closed with 7 birdies in a row. 27 back 9 for a 61.
I know another man sitting not too far away from me that was back in 27 or out in 27.
I did it twice, Richard.
Did you?
But may I say, I'm not going to go into it, it wasn't at Firestone Country Club.
No, but it was Montagel, which is a lot harder.
It was Montagel, a lot higher. It's a hell of a lot higher, let me tell you. Grainy greens. I mean, you should have seen them. Spike marks everywhere. Unbelievable.
Last out.
Now, did you see when Sergio drove into the crowd, he knocked a diamond out of a female spectator's engagement ring? Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. Yeah. Is that right?
My goodness me, they scuffed about on the floor looking for it. They certainly did.
Yeah, that didn't cost $15, did it?
No, they found the 0.1 of a carat diamond eventually amongst some grains of sand.
What was she doing in a bunker?
The sort of soil base was sandy, and she found the very small, she pointed out to her partner, diamond.
We will be here all day, dear.
What about a potential Ryder Cup pairing, Rory and Sergio?
Oh, perfect, I think, don't you?
Yeah,
I think they're spot on.
They scared the hell out of the Americans, I think.
Four ball would be fantastic.
So now we have a new world number one. How long will he stay there?
If Rory keeps playing like this and he sticks to his schedule and just sticks to everything, I mean, he'll be there all the time.
Now,
not all the time, but no, I mean, he'll be there for a long time.
Sure. Now, the Europeans had a good week, didn't they? What about Westwood's final day?
I can see you looking. Well, 63 final day, wasn't it?
But how badly did he need a performance like that?
Oh, he did, yeah. But I'm not so sure one round is, you know, okay, he shot 7 under. That's great. But some players can be consistent all season, i.e. Stephen Gallagher, right, who's not quite in the Ryder Cup. Lee Westwood hasn't had his best year. And I know he's a brilliant player, and I know he's got past credit for playing in the Ryder Cup. People say, oh, if Lee Westwood can perform in the last two tournaments and do all the four rounds like he did at Bridgestone because there was no cut. I know it's about winning, but I feel it's almost a little unfair on somebody that's right on the edge who's performed pretty well all season.
Well, look, if Westwood plays well next week at Valhalla, and if he plays well in the FedEx Cup Series, and is a hot player coming in, you're going to pick him, aren't you? Because he's got, you know, the pedigree of being a Ryder Cup player, and then now he's got form.
You might as well pick the whole team like that.
Well, I mean, if you did pick the whole team like that, you'd probably end up with pretty much what you got now.
You wouldn't be far off.
Justin Rose, probably another consistent performance.
Yeah, it was for Justin Rose. Finished at minus 9, tied 4th.
And if Graham McDowell needs a pick, his 266s to close?
He had a chip in somewhere along the line in his final round. It was very handy, I must say that. But he finished tied 8th, Graham McDowell, 7 under for the tournament. And as you say, 266s, wasn't it?
Yeah, 66. Now, we talked about Tiger earlier on about the withdrawal because of the back injury. What does it mean for Valhalla coming up? He won't get in the FedEx Cup Series unless, of course, somehow he plays in Valhalla and somehow he wins it or perhaps finishes second. He's not going to make the FedEx at all. Let's hear from Tiger.
I happened on the second hole. I hit my second shot. I fell back into the bunker. Just jarred it, and it's been spasming ever since. Just a whole lower back. So I don't know what happened when I landed.
He's not going to play the FedEx Cup. Can you pick somebody for a Ryder Cup side that's got no form and hasn't played the FedEx Series? I think probably not. So I think he's done Watson an unbelievable favour.
Yeah, I think that was beginning to be a bit of a problem in Tom Watson's mind. You know, he's thinking, do you know what, because he's been such a star over the years and still is a massive crowd puller, it's one of those, can I not pick him?
Well, Watson said if he was fit, he would pick him. And Nicklaus said he'd definitely pick Tiger if he was, you know, if Tiger was fit, he'd pick Tiger, regardless of form or anything.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Would you do that?
No chance. You can't get in there on name alone. Let's face it, he's not the greatest Ryder Cup player anyway.
No,
is he?
He's not got a brilliant record, no.
No. The Europeans would have preferred Tiger to have played Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
And for it to be an issue for the American captain. If he's out and Tom's got a clear slate, could be very different.
Who's the one that slides? Patrick Reed.
Patrick Reed, I think, is the last man in, the ninth man in on the American counting because of Dustin Johnson.
That's right, yeah.
Charles Schwartzel, 64 in the final round. Much better from him. Mark Leishman, another big performance in a big event from the Australian. Keegan Bradley, looking for a pick from Tom Watson, getting himself week in, week out into better positions in tournaments. Adam Scott, another top 10. Phil Mickelson charged through the field with a 62, which is much more like it from Phil because he'll be definitely getting the pick and he would like to have some really good form going into the Ryder Cup matches and, of course, the FedEx Cup Series. Give us the top 10 from Ohio, Richard.
Tied 8th, 9th, 10th and 11th was Adam Scott, Ryan Moore, Ricky Fowler and Graham McDowell. They were all on 7 under par. On 9 under par, tied 4th, 5th, 6th and 7th were Schwartzel, Patrick Reed, Keegan Bradley and Justin Rose. And then you've got Mark Leishman, who finished on his own in 3rd. Garcia at 13 under and the winner at minus 15. Wins by 2, Rory McIlroy.
Tips-wise, I went for Lee Westwood and Ricky Fowler. We had two tips, a European one and an American one. So Westwood finished 19th with that final round of 63. Ricky Fowler finished 8th, top 10 for Ricky. You and Murray, in your absence, yes, went for Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño, 62nd, and Tiger Woods withdrew.
Well, yeah, less than about that,
done
the better.
Well?
Hasn't he done well?
Yes. Well. So we know he got a new number one, Richard. Talk us through the rest of the top 10.
Tiger Woods is 10th, Jason Day 9th, Jim Furyk 8th, in 7th is Bubba Watson, Matt Kuchar is 6th, Justin Rose is 5th, Henrik Stenson is 4th, Sergio Garcia is 3rd, Adam Scott is 2nd, and Rory McIlroy leads the world rankings. That's a fantastic top 5, Robert.
It is a fantastic
Americans
top 5.
Americans are going to go to 6th spot, Matt Kuchar, before anyone appeared.
It's quite extraordinary, yeah. And Rory, funnily enough, number one in the world and number one on the race to Dubai. Who are the next 9?
Well, second spot, Sergio Garcia. Thomas Bjorn is 3rd. Martin Kaymer. Then comes Jamie Donaldson. Justin Rose is 6th. 7th is Gallagher. Victor Dubuisson is 8th. Henrik Stenson is 9th. And Graham McDowell sneaks into 10th.
Now, other news from around the golfing world. German sensation Moritz Lampert earned his instant promotion to the European Tour after securing his 3rd Challenge Tour win of the season with a superb display at the Azerbaijan Golf Challenge Open. Lampert started the final day 5 shots behind the overnight leader Benjamin Herbert from France, but blitzed through the field with a closing round of 66 to win by 2 strokes from Frenchman Michael Lorenzo Vera. Hopefully Michael will find his way back out on tour again and join that ever-growing group of French players.
He's a good player, Michael. Yeah. Michael Lorenzo Vera. Yeah. He really is.
He is a good player. So, yeah, good finish from him, but well done to Moritz Lampert. Brilliant. 3 wins and straight on the European Tour. That's the best incentive we've got going on tour for the Challenge Tour players. You win 3 times, like Brooks Koepka did last year, and you're straight in. Brilliant. And now on to this week's event, and it's, of course, the last major of the year, the US PGA Championship from Valhalla, Louisville, Kentucky. Jason Duff, the defensive title, he won at Oak Hill Country Club last year. So after their respective victories in both the US Open and Open Championship this season, Martin Kaymer and Rory McIlroy will play alongside Masters winner Bubba Watson in the opening 2 rounds of the US PGA Championship. Now, that's what they do. They put the 3 major winners together.
I was going to say, isn't it amazing how they came out of the hat like that? But I think that's a good idea, isn't it?
Well, do you know what? I think it's time to talk to our favourite American correspondent, legend, doyen of the golfing airways, Bob Bubka. Bob, how are you?
Doing great, guys. I'm still awed by the performance of Rory McIlroy, not only at the Open Championship, where he just demonstrated that he's playing at a different level than just about anybody on the planet, and then he backs it up with a World Golf Championship.
What about Rory's prospects this week at Valhalla? And compare him. I mean, you watched Tiger hit almost every shot in his pomp when he was having those great years from 2000 onwards. Compare him and Rory.
There's obviously a lot of similarities, Rob, because when Tiger was riding roughshod on the field, he was driving it further than the rest of the players. And Rory McIlroy, I mean, most of his drives were 330 yards and straight. You take Firestone, which is a very demanding golf course with narrow fairways, it's very difficult to release that club head to generate a 330-yard drive unless you have ultimate confidence. And that's what Rory McIlroy is doing. He even said after the round, you know, when his driver goes well, the rest of the game goes well. And he's certainly proven that. When Tiger was in his dominance, they decided to Tiger-proof the Masters by making it much longer than it was previously. If you want to Rory-proof it, you're going to have to make the golf courses a lot shorter so that everybody would have an equal opportunity. But right now, there's no golf course, there's no competitor with the golf game that is in Rory McIlroy's bag.
So much so, Bob, that, you know, he's world number one now. Now, what is going on over there in America at the moment? I mean, in respect of, I haven't looked down these world rankings, and I have to go to 6th spot, Matt Kuchar. He's your leading man in the world rankings. I mean, you know, there's a few Europeans sort of taking over slightly.
I thought you might bring that up for some strange reason, but certainly the dominance by the Europeans at the moment seems overwhelming. But I would guard against one thing. When you go in as the overwhelming favorite in the upcoming Ryder Cup, sometimes that underdog finds some magic for a few days of match play. So I would say right now, Tom Watson's Ryder Cup team is in a bit of bother, to say the least. play. So pick your story that you want to believe in, but he's not going to be at the Ryder Cup. And I suspect we may be hearing from Tiger Woods saying that he will not play in the PGA and he will not be available for the Ryder Cup. I think he's going to shut it down for the year. Pure speculation on my part, but it certainly seems to make sense. I mean, if he has the possibility of getting back spasms over one swing, it's hard enough to compete with the best players in the world. If you're trying to worry about every swing throwing your back out, I mean, it's virtually impossible.
So if Tiger does withdraw for the year, obviously doesn't play Ryder Cup, does that help Tom Watson or hinder him?
Well, in a way, it might help him. The only problem is the best argument made for picking Tiger was, who are you going to pick instead? If Tiger's eliminated, now you're confronted with that big problem of trying to pick somebody that even has the potential of doing what Tiger could do. Obviously, he was convinced by the doctors that whatever procedure they were going to do was going to take care of it in its entirety. And as we saw, that certainly was not the case.
Bob, with the Ryder Cup right around the corner, how big a week is Valhalla for, you know, the likes of Harris English, Keegan Bradley, those that are just outside the automatic spots to maybe get themselves in the nine?
Well, I'm sure Tom Watson would love to some of those fringe players step up. I think Phil Mickelson did at the Bridgestone in that fourth and final round everything that he needed to do. If he doesn't make it on points, he definitely has secured one of the three captain's picks. But it looks like with another good performance at the PGA, he'll be making it on points.
You're up there in the press center all the time. What is the chat going on about? You know, sometimes the top nine get in and the captains are gone, oh, I'll pick 10, 11 and 12. I mean, the likes of Brendan Todd and Chris Kirk, even Ryan Moore, you know, is there any chat that they may get picked?
Well, certainly. I mean, if any one of them demonstrates, you know, a superior golf game here in the fourth and final major, Tom Watson will have to take a look. I always make the argument, discussing rookies on a Ryder Cup team, that has never been a Ryder Cup player that won the rookie at some point. So you really can't hold that back against players. I mean, sometimes you find that jewel in the rough where whatever transpires at the Ryder Cup serves as a tremendous boost for their talent.
Of course, the Ryder Cup will be a topic for discussion all the way until we actually get to the event in late September. Meanwhile, turning our attention then to the final major of the year, does the course suit any particular type of player?
Well, there's been a lot of changes made, so 20 of the 24 players that played there in 08 in the Ryder Cup are going to be back on the premises, but they're going to find a completely different venue. I think a lot is going to be determined on whether the weather is good for their early practice rounds and how many holes they can get in. Then it'll come right down to, as it always does, the guy with the hot putter is probably going to come out on top. And right now, I don't know how you can make an argument for anybody other than Rory McIlroy, even though I think that it's extremely difficult to try and do what he's looking to accomplish. I mean, you win the Open and then you go win a World Golf Championship event, and then the very next week you try and win the fourth and final major of the year. I mean, that's a big ask for anybody, but his talent is at a level that maybe he can accomplish that.
I'm going to press you for an American and a European to win a Valhalla.
Rory Glory. And they call this event Glory's Last Shot, and he's won it before. And then unless his driver gets broken in transit, he gets to use that same driver. I mean, you hit the ball 330 yards on any golf course and you're in the fairway, you're going to bring it to its knees pretty fast. And Rory slowly but surely is taking on the role of the intimidator.
So you're going to pick Rory, and I won't even narrow it down to an American. You can have one more.
If not Rory, I've got a sneaking suspicion that Justin Rose will get his second major.
Richard?
I'm going to go for a chap that we haven't spoken a lot of, Martin Kaymer.
Where has Martin Kaymer disappeared to? Where would the real Martin Kaymer please stand
forward
up?
I think he's about to do this Thursday.
That's amazing.
Martin Kaymer, and the other one I'm going to go for American is Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, Ricky Fowler's a very good shout. We had a little chat amongst ourselves at the start of the year, and we noted down on paper who we thought would win the four majors.
Yes.
We've been pathetic. And Rory was my pick for Valhalla, so I've got to stick with that.
Oh, well, yeah, no, we might still just be hanging on there.
We might be clinging on with fingernails, scratching their way down the walls of uncertainty. So I'm going to go with Rory McIlroy like Bob. And my outsider is Lee Westwood, 63 in the final round.
Isn't it?
That made me feel good. If Robert Lee feels that he could win, that indicates to me that He's seen enough from Lee Westwood recently to get him over the line. And I think all three of us, we'd be hard-pressed to come up with a more deserving winner than Lee Westwood.
Bob, listen, I know you got to go. You got 1,000 media commitments. Thank you very much for spending time with us on the Race to Dubai show. We'll talk to you after the final major of the year.
Well, it's my honor to be on with you guys. Keep up the good work.
It's always great to speak to Bob Bubko. He's got his finger on the pulse, the other side of the water, no doubt about that. Well, that's it for this week. Many congratulations to Rory McIlroy, who triumphed at the WGC Bridgestone Invitational and became the new world number one. Good luck to all those playing in the final major of the year, the PGA Championship at Valhalla, especially to Rory for me and Bob, and to you, Richard.
Martin Keimer and Ricky Fowler.
Yes, we've got a little bit of Justin for Bob and a little bit of Lee Westwood for me. We shall see. So until next time, from me, Robert Lee, and him over there, Richard Boxall.
Bye.
It's goodbye.